This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. On this archive edition of the show, we have interviews with some of the people behind current hit films. Andrew Bergman directed the comedy It Could Happen to You. He also wrote and directed Honeymoon in Vegas, which starred Nicolas Cage, Sarah Jessica Parker, and a lot of Elvis impersonators, and The Freshman, in which Marlon Brando did a comic turn on his Mafia Don role from The Godfather. Bergman's screenplays include Fletch, The In-Laws, and Soap Dish. He co-wrote the screenplay for Blazing Saddles with Mel Brooks. Before we meet Bergman, let's hear a scene from It Could Happen to You. Nicolas Cage plays a cop who gets a bite at a diner where he's served by a waitress played by Bridget Fonda. Instead of a tip, he gives her half a lottery ticket. When it turns out to be a winning ticket, he returns to the diner to let the waitress know.
Next time, right?
Oh, actually, we were pretty lucky.
Oh, really? Did you win something?
We won something.
All right. What? We won something? What did we win?
$4 million.
Why are you doing this?
What?
This sick joke.
No, it's not a joke.
This is not a joke.
No.
No. What you're telling me, what you're saying to me, that you're really...
What, you think I'd make this up?
Yes, yes, I do.
I'm not. We won.
The lottery. The New York State, the lottery lottery. The actual lottery, New York State lottery, $4 million.
Yes, $4 million is our share. Happened last night. Well, it would have been more, except a bowling team from Albany called in. They took about $9 million out of the pot, but we won.
And you're telling me that you're actually going to split it with me?
Promise is a promise.
I spoke with Andrew Bergman in 1992 when his film Honeymoon in Vegas came out. That was the first time he directed Nicolas Cage. Bergman told me he loved writing for Cage because Cage had such surprising line readings.
Nick can just go off on a dime, which is what I love about him, you know. And in the movie, he is so harried that it never seems completely inappropriate. He did a line reading on when he visits this Hawaiian chief, played by Peter Boyle in the movie, in which Pat Morita is this cab driver who is taking him there for the purpose of diverting him. And he lives in this rundown, ramshackle place. And Nick doesn't want to set foot in the place. And Pat Morita says, you really should be respectful to him. He's a man of great influence on this island. And Nick did this reading and said, influence? He lived in a shack! And he exploded on the word shack. And when he did it, the first take was ruined because the producer who was sitting listening to earphones just broke out laughing. It was so funny. So he has a wonderful way of just exploding, literally exploding on a particular word.
Well, it must be fun for you as the writer to hear somebody like bring the words to life in such a surprising way.
Nick does it as well as anybody I have ever worked with. In fact, I think not since Peter Falk in The In-Laws did I ever work with an actor who just absolutely had ingested the rhythms of what I had written and just did it. You know, it's like, you know, music to my ears. He really nailed everything. Also, Nick has fabulous diction. I mean, you understand every word he says, which is, you know, not the common thing in movies nowadays. You know, when you're straining to hear what actors are saying half the time, Nick really knocks him out.
I want to ask you about The Freshman, your film from a couple of years ago, where Matthew Broderick plays a young man from Vermont who's going to New York to study in film school. And within a minute of arriving in New York, all of his possessions are ripped off in a scam. And then he's soon involved in what he figures is the mafia, which is headed by Marlon Brando, looking suspiciously like Don Corleone. There's a great film, there's a great scene, a couple of scenes with his film teacher and faculty advisor, who's incredibly pretentious.
Right.
And the first time we see this film teacher, it's in his office, and Matthew Broderick has come in to explain he doesn't have any money to buy books. And the teacher's listening to Shuffle Off to Buffalo, which has the line, "And the wheels go slow, soon we're going to shuffle off to Buffalo." And he explains that he's writing a paper called "And the Wheels Go Slow, Film and Function in 42nd Street.
Right.
I thought that was a wonderfully funny line. And then, of course, I found out that you did your dissertation on Depression-era movies, and that's called We're in the Money. Was this a little joke on yourself?
Fleabag is there but for the grace of God. Go on. I mean, I would have been Professor Fleabag. In fact, one of the props in that scene was he had my book on his desk, We're in the Money, which I wrote 20 years ago, and which, amazingly enough, is still in print. So I was really sort of a joke on myself. I mean, Fleabre was sort of one of my own worst visions of what I probably would have turned into if I'd continued in the path that I had chosen.
Well, there's another wonderful scene where, the professor, Fleabre is showing Godfather 2
right.
to the class, and he's, like, lip-syncing with all the parts on the side of the room.
Senator, you can have my answer now if you like. My offer is this. Nothing. Not even the fee for the gaming license, which I would appreciate if you would put up personally. Senator... My offer is this. Nothing. In that one moment, Michael Corleone says that all corruption is equal, that there is no separation between politics and gangsterism. Now, in the Fleabre treatise, Guns and Provolone, what point is made about the similarities between Karl Marx's Das Kapital, Immanuel Kant's Critique of Pure Reason, and the Lake Tahoe scene from Godfather 2, Mr. Kellogg?
Sir.
You haven't read the Fleabre piece?
Well, I'm...
in an evolving society.
You need tutorial help from Mr. Busiek?
No, sir.
Mr. Glassman?
In an evolving society, violence and narcissism replace...
Shut up!
I hate this guy.
Did you have teachers like this when you were in film school?
Everybody. I was never in film school.
You were never in film school?
No, never in film school.
Okay.
But everybody's had teachers like this. If it's not in film, it's in something else. Overbearing guys who you instantly know in your gut are full of it, but you still, even after the first class, know you're going to have to spend 14 weeks in purgatory with these people. So Fleabre, I really had fun with Fleabre. And poor Benedict, who played him, was just unbelievably funny, I thought. I just loved him.
Now, your major at the University of Wisconsin was American Intellectual History. What exactly were you planning to do with that?
Well, what does anybody plan to do with American Intellectual History? I guess be an American intellectual, and look good in tweed suits and get tasseled loafers. Bass Weegians and think thoughts. What I liked about American Intellectual History was the research and going into primary documents and digging through things. And actually, the book on movies was fascinating to do because I was sort of rummaging around all kinds of stuff. It's like rummaging around the attic of the 1930s. And making connections with all kinds of things in literature and popular literature. So it was interesting work. I thought when I was in college, I thought I'd get a degree and then I'd wind up advising a president, I went to college in the 60s and I thought, boy, I'd like to be Ted Sorensen when I grow up, sit there next to Kennedy and tell him how to be a genius. I thought that's what I would do.
So how did you go from writing about movies to writing movies?
Well, the first good thing that happened to me was I couldn't get a teaching job. That was my first break. So I went to work for United Artists for a year as a PR guy, and I met a lot of really fascinating people because at that time United Artists was releasing something like 35 movies a year. And I met Fellini, I met Truffaut, all these people I was spending time with. And it was a great education. I made a lot of contacts. And during that time, I wrote the story that became Blazing Saddles. It's an idea I'd had for years of a black sheriff in the Old West. And I sold it to Warner Brothers, and I never worked an honest day in my life again.
So do you know what you're going to be doing next?
There are a couple of things I'm considering. One is a very old idea, and one is something I'm just working on. I would love to do something political. We were talking about advising presidents before.
Yeah.
I think we're ripe for a really good, dark political comedy. There hasn't been a good one since Strangelove, in my humble opinion, and I would love to do one.
Is it hard to do in Hollywood?
I I'm coming off a hit, so when you,
right,
if you have a hit picture, then you have the luxury of saying, I'd like to do a movie called The Lawn next, and they say, that sounds interesting. The Lawn, it could be good. Is this like a big lawn or just like a backyard thing? So I don't know. So that's the, you know, the luxury of having a movie that's number one is that they're quicker to say yes to something.
Well, Andrew Bergman didn't direct The Lawn. His new film is the hit comedy It Could Happen to You. Our interview was recorded in 1992. This is Fresh Air.